Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Numbers chapter 12 tells the story of rivalry and jealousy within the family of Moses. Only this was so serious as to cause Jehovah's anger to be fiercely kindled against his brother and sister, and it even brought in God's judgment in a serious way against Miriam, Moses' sister. Why did God take a seemingly insignificant family feud so seriously? Well, we'll see on today's Life Study from Numbers, and Francis Ball has joined us once again. Francis, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I kind of enter into this with a little fear and trembling.
Likewise. It is a sober word, Francis. We come back to the children of Israel today, camped in the wilderness, on their way to the good land, and they're caught up once again in a major failure. This time related to murmuring and rebellion against the leadership of Moses. Today, we see not just the people at large, but even his brother and his sister, his brother Aaron, who was the priest, and his sister Miriam. They were drawn into this rebellion as well, weren't they?
Yes, it's very sad but not surprising to see this kind of reaction and this kind of opinion.
Give us a little bit of background, Francis, of what was happening here.
Well, of course, the children of Israel had been led by Moses out of Egypt, and there was no question about who had brought them this far. But during this time, things weren't always so pleasant and it wasn't so easy. And people sometimes feel like if they're being led by the Lord, everything should be easy. And when they run across problems, then they begin to question the Lord's leading. And this had already taken place with a number of the people, even thinking about going back to Egypt.
Right.
Because of the difficulties they ran into and the lack of so many pleasant things. So Miriam and Aaron got caught up in this kind of attitude, maybe not intentionally, but at least there was this kind of complaining going around. And no doubt some gossip and some talk against Moses, and they joined in. And being who they were, it was hard for them to do anything in a light way. They got involved in a very deep way and began to question Moses' right to be the spokesman for God.
I think it's a couple of things that we might point out. By this time, of course, Moses is over 80 years old in his leadership position. His brother, Aaron, was older than he, as was Miriam, his sister. So we're talking about 3 people here, fully matured in their human life, and even all 3 had some degree of spiritual maturity, as we see from other passages in the Word, don't we?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, let's look at a few of these verses at the beginning of chapter 12, and I think it helps set the stage very clearly now as to what we're going to touch today. And I'll do my best on some of these names. They're a little bit hard to handle.
Yeah.
Verse 1 says, "And when they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has Jehovah indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us?' And Jehovah heard it." And then we jump to verse 7. "My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, even openly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of Jehovah. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?' And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them, and he departed." So here's the story, Francis.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord had one whom he met with and could speak face to face and not in riddles. And that uniquely in that age was Moses. Let's join Witness Lee for the first portion of our program today.
We come to another trouble among Israel. That is, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman. We know all of them are blood relatives, and all of them were old persons. Moses was over 80. Miriam, at least 85. Then Aaron, at least 83, 84. And in a good sense, not only Moses was called by God, Aaron was too. But we don't have some clear record that Miriam was called. But in the Bible, she was recorded as a prophetess. When the people crossed the Red Sea and came out of Egypt, Miriam took the lead in praising God. This shows these three brothers and sister were quite distinctive among children of Israel. And they are not low people. They were educated people. And they were quite knowledgeable concerning the things of God. No doubt, in the eyes of children of Israel, they all were considered as leaders. This was their background and situation understanding. Both Miriam and Aaron were older than Moses. Moses was a younger brother. Generally speaking, the younger brother should pay respect to the older ones. Miriam and Aaron consider themselves something higher than Moses. They are the big brothers and sister. So people should pay more respect to them than to Moses. So there was such a jealousy, no doubt. And then another factor was that Miriam and Aaron said, "Has Jehovah indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" Miriam might have said, "I am a prophetess, God's spokesman. I spoke for God. God spoke also through me." So the center of this deal is, who has God's oracle? Well, you may be used by God to speak for him, yet probably you don't have God's oracle. You have to realize this. Just to speak for God, that doesn't mean you have God's oracle. See, God's oracle at Moses' time was with Moses.
Francis, let's come back to the background here for a moment. In a sense, these three, Moses, his brother Aaron, and his sister Miriam, were all involved in the leadership of God's people Israel through the wilderness, and all three had been used by the Lord at one time or another in different capacity. But now we come to the question of who among them not is the oracle, but has the oracle. And of course, the oracle is God speaking, isn't it? And if you distinguish here between this oracle that Moses had and just being one who can be used by the Lord, or the Lord has used in a leadership way.
It's quite interesting that this case is here in the book of Numbers. This matter of being used by God is quite common. God will use anyone that will make themselves available to him.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they're the ones who speak for God. The oracle, I believe, means God speaking through a special instrument or a special vessel that he chooses. And that was the case with Moses. Of course, Aaron had been also pointed out by God to be the priest and to be really involved in God's move along with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses said he couldn't speak well, and God said, "That's okay. Your brother can speak. He'll be a prophet to you and you'll be God to him." But this is not uncommon that when someone's in that kind of position or in that kind of authority, for people to begin to question, talk about him. Miriam and Aaron, this one no doubt was their conversation. "He should respect me and realize that I was the one leading the singing. I was the choir leader when they came across the Red Sea."
That's right.
So there ought to be some realization that God has used me. But this is not a question about being used by God. This is a question, who is God's oracle on the earth? And you know, Chris, I believe that when you look back at history and look back at the Bible, you see God has always had someone whom he could speak through for the people of God and for God's move. This matter of authority has not only been true with Moses and others like him, but it's also been true in our age. When someone really has God speaking to open up the Word to us in a way that really is according to God's economy and His move, that one is subject to being rebelled against or questioned or put down, because man likes to think that he's the one that should be doing what's being done properly.
And it's interesting, Francis, all manner of things will be drugged out here to be used against such a one. In this case, we saw Moses being attacked ostensibly because of his selection of who he married.
Yeah.
So they got into a kind of a personal issue regarding Moses as an example of why he really isn't qualified to be God's or to possess God's oracle in that age. And that is typical as well, isn't it?
That's a very natural tendency, I think, that is in man's heart to not come under somebody else's speaking, but think that we have the right to be equally authoritative.
You referred to a verse. I actually had selected that. One I wanted to read as we get into this next section. You were talking about the relationship between Moses and Aaron in terms of the roles that they were to play as God had determined in his sovereignty in leading the children of Israel. If you go back to Exodus chapter 6 and 7 there, the transition says, "But Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?"
Mm-hmm.
As you said, not one gifted in terms of his natural ability to speak. So then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet."
Mm.
So the word came directly to Moses, and then Moses apparently repeated it to Aaron and left it to Aaron to be the mouthpiece to Pharaoh. An interesting relationship here, but the point is, as we read earlier, the face-to-face speaking was between God and Moses.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to Witness Lee.
According to the Pentateuch, God spoke to Aaron only once. In the wilderness, God called Moses, referring him to his brother Aaron. Then God spoke to Aaron and told Aaron to go out to meet his brother Moses. Beside that, one time, I couldn't call another time. But according to the Pentateuch, the five books of the law, how many times it says, Jehovah said to Moses, Jehovah spoke to Moses, Jehovah told Moses, Jehovah this and that to Moses. All the time, whatever Jehovah did, he firstly spoke to Moses. Actually, Aaron was not God's spokesman, neither Miriam, but only one. That is Moses. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, the deputy authority of God. He was younger, but he was appointed by God to be his representative. God called Aaron. God raised up and ordained Miriam, but we cannot trace any hint that shows us God charged them to be his representative. God told Moses clearly with Aaron that God has chosen Moses to be his very authority on this earth. Yet Moses was a little withdrawing, saying this and that. He was not eloquent, he was not a good speaker and so forth. Then God said, okay, I would give you your brother Aaron to help you. So this doesn't mean God has ever charged or appointed Aaron to be his authority on this earth. Rather, God made it clear he would have Aaron help Moses. So actually, Miriam and Aaron should be also under this authority. Even they were older than Moses. Yet they should submit themselves to Moses as far as God's administration goes. But they rebelled. They did this because of jealousy and taking Moses' mistake as an excuse.
Okay, I think it's laid out very clearly for us now, Francis. He put his finger right on the issue. Here, the older two were to really submit to the younger one, and that's always painful, especially within a family, isn't it? So we have some jealousy here, and obviously ambition is being expressed as well, and the net result is always, it seems, is a kind of rebellion.
This is an age-old problem, and particularly in this case, we see God had clearly pointed Moses out to be the one to take the lead and to represent him, to be his deputy authority. Some people have a hard time recognizing that God does have a deputy authority.
Yes.
But he does have, and to those, he speaks face to face, giving his word to them so they can make clear what the word is saying, what the Bible is saying, and they're able to discern what is God's economy, what is the pathway that he takes, and they know, not because they're smarter, but because God has given them that commission to be his deputy authority, which you can call the oracle of God. If you don't recognize that, and you think you should be, then you're apt to fall into a condition of jealousy, and of course ambition goes along with that, like you said.
We have another segment here, and this one is quite sober, quite serious, because it really brings us to the result of this. And of course it did create or cause Jehovah to express even his anger as well as his judgment. If we look at verse 9 in chapter 12, it says, "And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from over the tent," of course we saw before the cloud was really God's presence, "there Miriam was, leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, leprous." Very serious. Let's go back to Witness Lee, Francis.
"Moses, being very meek, more than all men who were on the earth, but God came in, God intervening, coming down in a pillar of cloud, and standing at the entrance of the tent, speaking to Aaron and Miriam. I would check with you, dear saints, why God took this matter so seriously. To my opinion, it was not a big thing, just the three relatives, this among themselves, a big brother, a big sister, and the younger brother, they were of the same parents, and this common, let them fight. And Moses didn't care for it, but Jehovah would not let it go. God would not let it go. God considered it serious. Why? Because this touches God's authority. It's not a small thing. When you touch, when you challenge, defy God's authority, that means you shake his throne. Oh, this is serious. Oh, this is more serious than the lusting for eating meat. This is to overthrow God's throne on this earth, even in this universe. So God was serious. God came in by coming down in a pillar of cloud and standing at the entrance of the tent, speaking to Aaron and Miriam, vindicating Moses. Then God rebuked Aaron and Miriam, his anger burning against them. God was angry against them, and God left them. Now, all of us learn to study the word by checking. Why two rebelled, only one got punished. And especially one was a female and the other was a male. To my opinion, the male should bear more responsibility. I would say because firstly, Miriam took the lead. She was the initiator, the instigator. And I do believe she stirred up Aaron. Miriam instigated Aaron. Aaron, look at. So Aaron nodded the head. So Aaron was not the main instigator. She was. And number two, especially because she was a female, you see, as a female, she should not do this. For a female to rebel, there would have been no allowance. That's too much. I believe it was of these two factors God punished Miriam to warn, to alarm all the females among the children of Israel. So this was God doing, governmental dealing.
Francis, usually when we produce these programs, we try to end on a somewhat of an encouraging note. So we're going to have to leave that to you today, because the word we just heard from Witness Lee did not give us that encouraging uplift, but rather, I think, very properly sobered us all to realize that to touch God's government, to touch His authority in an improper way is a very serious matter, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I think the encouraging part is for us to realize that God does have the authority. And
yes.
He does have a throne.
Right.
And we should be aware and cautious how we treat God's authority. Anyway, the encouraging thing is that God is His own authority. And when this matter came up, He stepped in. God stepped in Himself and made the thing very, very clear. And it's now in the book of Numbers. Now it has some history.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen through history this has been repeated again and again. But this time there was a very, very serious judgment on God's part directly to handle this matter and to vindicate His servant, which was quite encouraging that the Lord does vindicate His servant and will make us clear about who's who when it comes to God's government and God's speaking.
Yeah, that is a point that I took note of also. It wasn't Moses vindicating or justifying himself here, and in a sense that would have been a kind of an ugly thing, but God directly intervened to vindicate not Moses' authority, but really His own authority, and that was a meaningful point. We have just about a minute left, Francis. Because it's an important point, and I, in the climate especially in which we live today, regarding things social and political, say something about the fact that Miriam as a female was singled out, we have to say, as the object of God's judgment here.
We have to realize God does have an order. The head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And a female should not rise up to react against God's word or God's authority. But rather we should submit and realize that we're under a certain amount of delegated authority among men.
Francis, I think we'll close this way just to reiterate. This is a life study and the focal point virtually every time we come together and open up one of these portions that were given to us by Witness Lee is to see the matter of life in God's Word. And maybe ones might be struggling to try to find it today, but often these kinds of speakings, the kind of word we got today, is to help preserve the climate of life within the church and within God's and among God's people. And life does need to be vigilantly preserved, doesn't it?
That's right.
Thank you, Francis. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.